Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Gareth A. Davies. Welcome to the Fight Night podcast. For TalkSport this week, Spencer Oliver in the studio with me, and for the first half of the show this week, we're joined by the Noakes brothers, Sam, the undefeated lightweight, 10 fights, 10 knockouts, and Sean, the undefeated welterweight, 4 fights, 2 knockouts. We had a blast with the Noakes brothers. You are in a division which globally is seen as one of the most exciting divisions in boxing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can name perhaps 5 names to begin with, and I'll just call them out to you. Vasyl Lomachenko, Devin Haney, Tank Davis, Ryan Davis, and Shakur Stevenson. Those 5, that quintet of fighters, are now converging on some major super fights, and you really are, if you want to get in that mix, probably only a year and a half away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking my time, because I always remember Archie Sharpe said to me before, he said, if you rush up there, if you come unstuck, it's an unforgiving game, this boxing game, so just take my time, listen to my coaches, but I definitely believe that I can get there, and I mean, any of them 5, you're talking big money fights there, boys.
One of the reasons why I mention them, those 5 names, first of all, because for someone young like yourself, and they are young as well, it's an amazing thing to be able to aim at, because it could be life-changing money and life-changing for you to be in the ring with those guys.
Yeah, be unreal. I mean, even to share, they're all top names. Obviously, they're household names now, but in a few years, that's what I'd want to be, a household name.
I mean, you're at the right stage right now, Sam, and you're brilliantly positioned, because you've had 10 fights, 10 KOs, you know, and you look at where you're at the development stage. You know, there's some good names in this country. You've got like your Maxi Hughes, your Kid Galahads and Gavin Gwynns and Corey Gibbs, even stuff like that, where you can learn your trade. Go on. Are you the sort of guy that would like to do it like the old traditional way, like you're a British champion now, win the Commonwealth, win the European, where you're stepping up the standards all the time and getting yourself ready? Because like Gareth said, the names that are in your division globally on the world stage, they're pound for pound stars,
and that is going to be the division when this group of 30 plus heavyweights have gone right now. That's going to be the division that the world's really looking at, in my
view. I think that's why you want to do it the old traditional way. I think, like, do the British and then do it rather than rush up or try and avoid fighters. Like, I'm ready for them big domestic fights. Obviously, I got the fight on the 15th at the Copper Box, and then after that I'll be ready for any one of them names.
The Commonwealth and WBC International Silver lightweight title.
It's going all right.
Against Karthik Sashithkumar. What do you know about him?
I think he had a very good amateur record. I think he's just a good slick boxer, and I believe that he's probably going to be tricky for 4 to 6 rounds. But, I mean, 12 rounds is a long time, boys, and I plan on getting it done.
You don't
in the
like 12. Going 12 too much, do you, mate? As your record would suggest.
Well, I've only been past 5 once, but so I don't really. They don't get paid for overtime. I know it's cliches, it is to say, but it is true.
Spencer.
Yes, no, he's 100% right in what he says. But what will happen is you prepare, obviously, now you're at that 12 round standard, Commonwealth champ and all that. You're at that level now where, you know, you get these guys that come over and they are tough, and some of them you hit them and you think, I had the same when I was boxing, you think, how's this geezer taking this? How's he soaking it up? But somehow they do, and they find that second wind and they keep going, and they will take you into those later rounds. You're prepared to do that for when the time comes.
I mean, the sparring in the gym we got Pierce O'Leary. I mean, obviously he's another Frank Warren fighter. And I mean, some of them rounds, and you're doing 10 rounds twice a week, mate. I'm telling you, you pay to watch them.
Yeah.
So I'm well prepared for it. But I mean, when you're on Fight Night and they're not your friends, they're not your teammates, and you've got that little bit more of a killer instinct in you, like, it is different. And I mean, them 8-ounce gloves are nasty.
We're going to catch up with your older brother, Sean Noakes, as well, obviously, who's progressing in his career. He's a couple of years older than you, later on in this segment. But tell us how you, obviously, two brothers boxing, both professionals, how you got into it. You're from Maidstone. Have you got boxing in the family? How did it all begin for you guys?
Well, how it began for me, Sean started doing it first, and then obviously, like,
in the street.
Yeah, well, that's how I think everyone.
The way he fights.
Yeah, he's. I mean, after his last KO, mate, I'm not going to start piping up to him anymore.
That
was
so. Well, that nearly stole the show. If we haven't had Artur Beterbiev and Anthony Yard that night, and he was on that undercard, it would have stolen the show.
I'd say that it probably would have been the knockout of the night. Obviously, Beterbiev better Beterbiev, isn't he? I mean, he ain't got 19-19 for no reason, but.
It was a great performance. It really was.
So he began. And he influenced you going into
Well, no, because he started going up, and then obviously I was just being a little terror. My mum was like, right, you've got to go up there. Sean's up there. You've got to do it. You need some discipline. And then obviously walked through the door at Westry ABC and not looked back. Mm. It's been 13 years now, and I love every minute of it.
Tell us a little bit more detail. I mean, were you guys always looking for trouble? Were you always happy to take trouble?
Obviously we would never run away from it, boys. No. We're cancer state boys, didn't we?
Right. Who turned pro first at you two as well? Because obviously, Sean, you started boxing first, but you've got more wins more fights on your record.
So I was turned over first. I think I turned over in 19, and then obviously Sean was still amateur as well, and then had a good amateur career. And then he turned over a little bit later, it's kind of.
But was there boxing in the family?
I think my granddad probably used to like doing fairground fights or whatever back in the day when it was. But I mean, we've always been like a sporting family. Like, my mum's always loved me getting into running, and that's probably why I'm such a good runner, because she's a bit of a pushy parent and that. But
football as well for both of you or not? I'm going to bring Sean in a minute.
I used to play till I was about 11, and then I thought, weren't a bit of me really. So,
well, let me bring Sean in, because he's sitting there patiently. He's shadow boxing with a Talk Sport microphone.
Sean,
obviously you're an influence on your brother going to the gym. How did you first start then?
Well, I was like 12, 13. I was quite a chubby kid.
Quite a chubby. Yes, I
was fat.
He's a big old boy.
We used to watch all the Rocky films and that, and I thought, you know what, everyone's in good shape. And I thought, you know, I want to lose the weight. So I started losing the weight. And then eventually they went to me, do you want to box competitively? And I started, and I loved it, took to it quite well. And eventually my mum made in Midge come up with me.
Yeah, and I remember we always used to do like the, back garden and that. And obviously everyone's all sparring, you get a pair of gloves. Remember, if you lost, you got thrown in the swimming pool in the clothes and that. So I was thinking, I ain't getting well. I remember once I had a broken arm with a cast on and only had one glove. And obviously all the boys are like 15, 16 years old. I'm trying to swing them. Ended up losing, getting dung in the water.
Were you both sparring with each other with a glove each at some point as well, and being sent up to bed because you couldn't stop doing it?
What was it? You had the Hulk gloves. Do you remember the ones you used to punch together? That was
before we even started boxing, them gloves.
No, and then we were never allowed to spar up the club because we're like a pair of old women. We all bicker bad.
Oh, do you?
We argue.
I love him to death, but he didn't half get on my nerves, boys.
He's
all coming out tonight.
You'd never think we're brothers the way he spars. He comes in with his elbows.
Nah, it's
and
a rough old game. I'm preparing him for that rough game out there, boys.
So who gets the better of the sparring? All right, I know you don't anymore. Oh, okay. So Sean...
did you put your hand up?
Nah, I thought that's what you were going to do.
So Sean gets the better of the sparring, does he, Sam?
Listen, if that's what he wants to believe, boys...
To be fair, it's competitive.
I'll say this. We'll get you separate cars home tonight.
If he keeps saying that, he's walking. I might take him home. He can walk back.
Do you know what? I used to... When I started boxing, because I had an older brother as well, and we were boxing at the same time, my older brother, for many years, he used to beat the life out of me. That was in the front room, because we used to spar a lot in the front room. Then he would take you down to the gym, and I think that's what helped me get along and get to where I got to in the end through that. But it was my older brother was the one that introduced me into boxing, and he used to give me a little kick in time to time.
Definitely when we were younger, there was no contest. At Westry, I couldn't really lace a glove on him, as horrible that is to say. But, you know, obviously, as we got older, got a bit bigger, now I'm bigger, stronger.
And to be faster. Fair, like, we never really sparred. We never really had to spar.
We weren't allowed. We bickered boys, honestly. We bickered too much.
I'm quite a chilled older brother. Like, I never feel like I had to dominate or anything like that. So it was always all right between
us. But he's always got to have the upper hand.
I know.
I've noticed that already.
I'm proper petty, boys. I'm proper petty.
Honestly, I feel
you're attritional. You're definitely attritional with him, yeah. So you have to be a bit more laid back.
Yeah, I've got to be chilled. He's got to win everything. He's always the mid-show when we go.
Oh, you let me win, dear. That's what it is. You let me win. Oh, he's cheeky.
But what do you play outside boxing against each other that you've got to win then,
everything.
Sam?
Right, really? Everything.
If we play tennis, I'll win. You can't say badminton.
You can have tennis.
Oh, you know what, boys? He started playing golf and he actually probably
there's
is better than me.
There's a lot of competitiveness between you two, isn't there?
But that must be a great feeling.
I think that will help you guys, actually, moving forward.
Yeah.
Because that competitive edge gives you the edge to
achieve
more.
Oh, yeah,
think
after his last fight, the pressure I've got on my shoulders now,
I've got to step up, mate.
But
not just the pressure. Now, this is a genuine question now about love for one another as blood. It must be so difficult when the other one is fighting, when he was fighting.
Yeah,
on
definitely.
Honestly, I don't get too nervous for myself, yeah, but I've never, ever been a fan of watching him.
Both ways.
As much as we all laugh and joke and that, but it ain't. It's because you're not in control and you don't know what's going to happen. It isn't nice.
Yeah. Same for you, 100%. Sean.
Honestly, I'll get nervous for his fights more than I do my own. I'll sit there ringside sweating, my hands all clammy.
But you do his corner and you do his corner, yeah, or not?
No, to be fair, we try, like, we keep out of it, all sorts of things. Like, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing, but then obviously we're in each other's corner anyway.
But you'll be there at the Copper Box.
Yeah, always.
We will be on April the 15th, of course, with Talk Sport. After we'd got into it with Sam and Sean, we were joined by their manager, Francis Warren, son of Frank Warren.
I'm going to start with Sean, and you know, forgive me, Sam, I don't usually start with Sean.
There you go, he's already making a sign at 1-0,
you always saved the best to last, didn't you?
But I'll tell you what, Sean's last performance, he started slipping and moving and, you know, bobbing and weaving and slipping shots, and I actually, he slipped one shot and then threw an uppercut, and I actually said out loud, without being able to help it, I went, bloody hell, he thinks he's Muhammad Ali. he boxed out of his skin. He boxed fantastically well, and the finish was absolutely beautiful.
Well, we were there with Talk Sport on the night, weren't we? And you know, we've been there all week. That performance against Santiago Garcia de Colombia had it not been for the Anthony Yard Beterbiev absolute blinder, that would have been the fight of the night and the knockout of the night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great performance for Sean. You know, he'll be back out again in mid-May. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's just, you know, it's a testament to the way he's performing. You know, it's pretty much within this couple of days of him finishing one fight, he's getting another date. Very much similar to Sam's progression. It's not just, you know, obviously, they're both very, very popular guys. They sell bundles with tickets, which obviously helps. But it's not just about selling tickets. This is about seeing two young men develop at a rate of knots and you know, they're hugely popular, but they can both fight and they can both punch, and it's so exciting.
I mean,
and to be managing both of them, you know, obviously I've managed Sam since he turned pro. First met Sam, actually, invited him down to the, it was the Billy Joe Saunders fight at Stevenage Borough.
That was brilliant,
It was a surreal night, but, you know, the best thing for me personally to come out of that night was meeting Sam, to be honest. we've got along like a house on fire, and I think as his career has progressed, and it certainly has progressed under the tutelage of Alan Smith down at the Ironbox. You know, he's just come on leaps and bounds, and I couldn't be a prouder manager to be looking after both these fantastic set of human beings, not boxers, human beings. They're great guys.
Thanks, Francis. That's lovely.
Apart from the loving, let me ask some journalistic questions. Sam Noakes at 10-0 with 10 KOs. We talked about the lightweight division that exists globally at the moment, and it's an extraordinary division. Do you want to see Sam go the traditional route of going, as he is, Commonwealth, British, European, and then step him up and try and get him some of those big fights with, you know, the Stevensons and the Davises and the Garcias, the Lomachenko. Lomachenko's not fought in the UK. To get those kind of people over here in 2 years' time to fight those big fights, because the big stars seem to want to come to the UK to fight.
Yeah, if you're not wrong, obviously, you know, if they do want to come over here, and, you know, we've certainly got the talent to be able to compete with those, you know, with the those, that sort of calibre. But you hit the nail on the head, you know, one of your final comments there was in 2 years' time. You know, we're in no rush here. You know, Sam's got all the time in the world. You know, very, very early stages of his career. He's had some good, you know, he's 10-0, 10 knockouts. We're on a great run, we're on a great roll, but he's still learning. Every day in the gym is more important than the previous day. That's the aim of the game at the minute, to learn something new every day. And, you know, he's in a great position. He's a Commonwealth champion. He's had a couple of defences of the WBC International Silver Belt, so he's slowly building that, you know, that world ranking with WBC. But, you know, but there's some domestic fights that I think, you know, that we'd like to have. You know, people, you know, such as like Josh Padley, Ryan Walsh, Regan Glacklin,
yeah,
Lewis Sylvester, all these sorts of guys, because I think, you know, it's not about proving yourself at a domestic level, but it's about what, you know, once you take that leap out of the UK, it's very difficult to come back into it. I think, you know, and it's all about, you know, it's the oldest cliche in boxing, to right fights at the right time. And, you know, and I, you know, as I said, I'm obviously very fond of these guys, and I'm very, you know, and I will be very protective of them. And, you know, they won't be sent into the lines then until they're a 1,000,000% ready to compete at the highest level, no matter what the financial reward would be.
Yeah, Francis, you're right in what you say there. They're both very infectious guys. We've got them in the studio here. They're both fun, very competitive. You know, when we get brothers, both brothers that can fight, I mean, what's the roadmap for these guys, and how far do you think they can go? Do you think they can both achieve those heights and go on to win world titles like the Edwards brothers and stuff? Because they would be very marketable, because they're both really nice guys. And I think that we live in a world today that is like, it's all about promotion, self-promotion, and having that charismatic personality. And both these kids have got it.
They've got it in abundance, Spencer. You know, you've only got to spend a little bit of time with them to realise.
Yeah, we have about 10 minutes, and they've already grown on us.
They're guys you want to see more of, and not just in, you know, not just in the ring. You know, I've got you know, plenty of deals in the woodwork for both the guys commercially, and you know, it's not going to be a hard sell for these guys to get to the top of the game, but they won't get there if they go into fights too early, too soon. You know, I think if you look at something, you know, towards the end of the year, a seasoned veteran like Ryan Walsh, for example, for Sam, I think that'd be a great fight, great test to see, you know, to see where he's at. You know, 18 months later, you might look a little, you know, you look a bit further afield for a European title, for example. You know, but I wouldn't, if Sam was a few fights in front, four or five fights in front at this stage, I wouldn't say no to Baranchik. So if Baranchik's still, you know, European champion, say February next year, that's something that we could look at. But you know, as I said, we're still at the, you know, he is Commonwealth champion, and he's fighting a Commonwealth ranked contender in his next fight, and that's the aim of the game. You know, the belts you've got, you defend against the people available to you. And I think Karthik Kumar, with 10-0 with 4 KOs, he won a World Youth Silver as well. You know, so he's not coming in with no, and he's slippery as well. So if Sam wants to get to 11 wins, 11 knockouts, he's going to probably going to have to go looking for him.
I've got to say, Francis, obviously you also look after Dennis McCann and the Atalma brothers. Obviously, they had a sliding door fortunes on that night with Better Biev and Yard. And I was actually, I think I was there with you interviewing for TalkSport as the older brother was beaten. But obviously Moses looks a great prospect at heavyweight. I've got to ask you this, because we don't often talk about this thing on the show. There's an art to growing the career of a fighter, isn't there? Which is often overlooked at the moment because of the influence of young people and the way that a lot of young people follow boxing and MMA now, and MMA fighters move very quickly. It's a different algorithm, even though people are impatient, isn't it?
Gareth, I think I might have to take you on as a consultant, because you know, to explain to some of these youngsters who come in, and I wouldn't put Sam and Sean in this category.
No, they're not. Clearly,
you know,
they trust
in the process. But there are some fighters that after six fights, seven fights, you get, you know, they ring up saying, "Oh, I want to fight X, Y, and Z," and you're like, "You're just going to get beat. What value is that?" You know, and you're not well enough to get well paid enough. So it's just, you know, it's nonsensical sometimes. But, you know, with my guys, you know, I think that, well, they have to trust in my process if they want to sign with me, because from day one, I say this is very much a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I've learned from the master of the art in building a career and developing a young fighter into a world force. You know, I think my father has taught me, you know, there's no rush in this and there's no shortcuts.
Our thanks there to the Noakes brothers for coming in late night on a big call from Maidstone. We cannot wait to meet their mother, Sharon, as well, given all the things they told us about Mum. What a credit they both are to their parents. Up next, we were joined live after his victory over Thomas Fowler to win the European light heavyweight title, to go with his British light heavyweight title, the one and only friend of the show, Mr. Dan Azeez.
And add it to the southern area, the English title, the British and the Commonwealth, and that could be it, and it is indeed it. The referee waves it over, big right hand from Super Dan Azeez has closed the show.
I woke up, I dripped that, it was over, I won by stoppage, then I woke up, I was like, oh, so the fight, I've still got to do the fight. But, you know, my dream matched the reality, so I'm happy, win-win.
Prophecies that I made way back in the veil.
At the end of the day, as much as, you know, we're warriors and we go in there and, you know, seek and destroy it, we do want to go back home to our families, and that's the most important thing. So, great job by the referee.
What does it mean to you to get the European title to go with your British title, first of all?
It means so much. It means so much, especially the fact that I went over to France, beat a Frenchman. I'm on away soil, and it's just the trajectory is just, it just means a lot. I've won every belt step by step. I haven't had a fight where, you know, three belts are on the line or two belts on the line. I've actually had to go and win them one by one. So every time I winning one and adding another to the collection, it just means so much to me. Like, and like I said in the post interview, I felt like crying. But, you know, it just, yeah, meant a lot.
And what does it mean that one of your rivals, significantly in Joshua Buatsi, signed with Boxer and Sky Sports this week?
Do you know what? It's good. I'm happy for Josh because he's a mate of mine. And, you know,
is he a mate of yours or a rival?
Yes. Yeah. I guess it's both now. It's both. And to be fair, you know, anyone in the division that's a light heavy, if you're in the same division as anybody, they're automatically rivals. So when it comes to boxing, yes, he's a rival.
So,
but what I wanted to say is that if me and Josh were ever going to fight, I don't think, you know, people say, oh, because he's come to boxing, it makes it more easier. Me and Josh are the type of people, regardless of whether he was on DAZN or BT, if we're going to fight, we'll fight. Whether it's me going over on their platform or him coming on to ours, I don't think we shy away from that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's, you know, it looks spicy, you know, that another light heavyweight's come on shore. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, it certainly makes that fight an easier one to make. And like you say, you'd put friendship aside, because I know that you two spar together and you have got a friendship. But the reality is he's number one with the WBA. You're number two with the WBA in the governing body. So you're both knocking on the door for those world titles. Bivol's got the WBA title. Beterbiev's got the other titles as well. They're looking to go undisputed. So the reality is you two could box for an opportunity to fight for the undisputed. That's something that could happen.
Or would you rather wait till one of you or both of you have got world titles before you meet? That's the, you know, need to be curated?
No, I don't. Well, on my side, and I think Josh's as well, it's not about, if we're going to fight, it doesn't have to be, you know, Dan needs a world title.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, if we're going to fight, we're going to fight. But for me, an ideal situation would be he's number one, I'm number two, and we fight for maybe a vacant belt. That would be wicked. But regardless, if we're going to fight, we'll fight. He said it the other day, and I've said it before, we go hell and back in sparring, free of charge, no eyes. So, you know, if you put money in the pot, you know, big audience, a world title, of course we'll do it.
All right, let's straight question then. Who do you want to fight next?
It's funny because so many people were asking me this the other day, and I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind fighting this and that. But I'll be honest with you, Gareth, I don't mind. Like, anyone like in the top 10, anyone I can have a good scrap with, anyone like, you know, that can enhance my legacy, my CV, you know, put me on that road to a world title or fight for a world title. I don't mind. I'm not fast.
Do you know what, Dan? You are one of those. You are proper old school, mate. You really are. And I think that that's a brilliant way to be. Like, what you said there was key. Like, you and Boatsy, you'd happily get it on without a title on the line. You've gone on, you're like a road warrior, man. You've gone out there. You've won English. You've won Southern Area, English, British, Commonwealth, European, and you've done it on the road. You don't mind fighting in the other guy's backyard. That is rare these days, mate. You just go there and you pull it on the line. And I love that.
No, 100%. Because, listen, Spence, when I first started, I used to watch just a Southern Area title bout. I used to think, whoa, this is going to be hard to get. So for me to get a Southern, an English, a British, and now European, what more can I ask for? I've got a chance to fight the best. Mm. I've got a chance to make, you know, history. You know, so what's holding me back? So, yeah, man, that's how I look at it.
But it is an awkward scenario in terms of the UK. If I run through the list of Callum Smith, Joshua Boatsy, Anthony Yard, yep. and that's 1, 2, and 3 for Better BF's WBC title, by the way.
Yeah.
Craig Richards, Lyndon Arthur's fighting on Friday night for the IBO light heavyweight title. Who am I forgetting? Have I mentioned Craig Richards yet?
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's slightly frustrated that all 6 or 7 of you aren't in a tournament together, Dan. That there's a chance to have a golden era of British light heavyweights or European light heavyweights.
What we need to do is just keep speaking it into existence, man. It will
absolutely
happen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, me as a fighter and even as a fan of boxing, I will be gutted if all of us don't mix it up together. We act like you said, we have an opportunity to make a golden era, the light heavyweights, like, and I'll be so happy to be a part of that. If it doesn't happen, man, I'll feel like I've let myself down, let the fans down, let boxing down. So, and I'm sure all the other fighters feel that way as well.
There's a horrible habit of that not happening, though.
There is, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, these light heavyweights, though, they all seem very keen to get it on with one another. It's like, it's one of those unusual weight divisions right now that is to create legacies of modern eras and whatnot. You've all got to fight the best to be the best, but you've also got to have good dance partners. There's 5 or 6 in your weight division, world-class fighters. If you lot all mix it up, that will go down in history,
exactly.
And people will remember
exactly.
That. But what I love about your weight division, Dan, is that you all speak the same language. You know, it's not about politics getting in the way and wanting to lose your O and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's more about let's mix it up. Let's see who's the best. Let's get it on. And that creates legacy.
100%. We still talk about just Watson, Eubank and Ben. That's just 3 of them. I still watch the Super 6 with, you know, Carl Froch, Andre Ward, and all of them lot. Like, so we need to create another one. And I think the UK light heavyweight, so far, that's the best. That's the best division. It's 3 of us in the top 10 in the world. Like,
sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that's the best chance and opportunity for us to do it. And I really, really do hope we do it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
While continuing our theme of £175 fighters on this show, I caught up with Lyndon Arthur, who fights for the IBO title next Friday night on Channel 5. Here's what he had to tell me.
Channel 5 is a massive platform, and I'm glad that it's on that as well, because, you know, like I said before, like, you don't need to be subscribed to Sky, you don't need to subscribe to DAZN, BT Sport. It's just free to air. Anyone can watch it. You can be flicking through channels just to watching anything, and that can pop up and you can tune in.
Would you like a third fight with Anthony Yard, is what I wanted to ask you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. That's just goes without saying. It's 1-1. I'm not the guy that's stuffing and chasing, but if the option to fight him came up, then I would take it. But Dan Aziz.
Yeah, what about Dan Aziz?
Good win. Good win. I watched it. Good fight. I think it's someone that would make a great fight.
It's a very interesting press conference. Joshua Buatsi explained why he left.
He signed for Boxer, hasn't he?
He has, and he said, I want people to say, we know what channel to tune into or turn into. I'm not going to tell you to download an app to type in your email. My last fight, I asked myself, how many watched it? I don't think a lot of people saw it. Why does a boxer say that, do you think?
I have no idea why he said it. I have no idea, but I guess he wants to be seen a lot more than he probably is getting seen. The zone's a hard one, because it came on and it kind of blew up and it kind of went in everyone's faces, and then I think people kind of got bored of the fact that you have to go on an app. You have to kind of download it on your phone or download it on your telly and stuff like that. It's not just easy access. It's hard. And then, only if you're a boxing fan, you're going to watch DAZN regardless. But if you're not a boxing fan and not that you're not a boxing fan, but you are, but you just like boxing, you're not going to have that app kind of thing. So the casual is not going to see you, because they're going to be watching a boxer show. A lot of people are complicated. Like, a lot of people find stuff like that complicated. Can't be asked doing it. Is you've got to pay £20 a month, I think it is now, or something, or whatever it is. I don't know. And I guess that's his reasons.
That's what I was saying. You know, age 31, when you were, let's say, early 2020s, 2010, 13 years ago, when you were a late teenager, did you think you were going in a different place?
I guess, probably. But you know what? It's weird. I always knew I'd do something. I just didn't know what. But at that time, I had no idea what it would be. But even as a kid, I always knew I couldn't, no disrespect to anybody, but I couldn't work at what you call a normal job. I don't think I'd be able to.
What were your normal jobs?
Pardon? Yeah.
What were your non-normal jobs before then?
I'd never had one.
Yeah.
Never had one. I lie. When I was a kid, I worked in a car wash.
Right.
I also, when I was 16, no, when I was 15, I did 3 days on a builder site, and I got sacked on my birthday. On my 16th birthday, I got sacked. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea. I was wandering around doing nothing, and that's about it. So I just knew that, you know, the normal route wasn't ever going to be an option.
When you look back at your 15 and 16 year old self now, what's the advice you'd be giving that young man right now, from where you sit?
Think about it. Think about it before you do anything. Just think about it. I don't know. By that time, I'd by that time, I probably needed this. I probably needed boxing. I probably would have done boxing a little bit sooner. So at 15, yeah, I probably would have said start boxing.
Were you directionless then at that point then?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just fascinated to what you were like, because you're such a solid individual.
Oh, I was just a terror.
Were you?
Yeah, my mindset. My mindset was just different. It was just a bit all over the place.
Is it painful thinking of yourself then or not?
Not painful, but no, it's not thinking of myself then painful, but just, I had fun growing up. I had fun, but what I would call fun, a lot of people wouldn't. So.
Tell us what you mean by that then.
Just stuff. Yeah, just stuff. Just they did stuff, and you know, being just doing stuff that you probably shouldn't be doing. I don't want to put myself in bad light, but doing kid stuff that probably be frowned upon a little bit.
Look, let me get back to the main business. Next Friday night, obviously, it's at the Bolton Whites Hotel, Bolton. You're fighting Brain Noel Suarez, the vacant IBO light heavyweight title. What are we going to see from you on Channel 5, of course, live on Friday night? What are we going to see from you? And where do you want to put yourself with the statement you make there?
Dominant performance. I'm confident. I'm excited to fight. I'm excited to headline. I'm excited to put a show
on. We're going
to
see you in a world title fight in the next year?
I hope so. A big domestic fight.
Well, we're on the light heavyweight theme tonight. We've got three of our prominent light heavyweights in the news this week. We had, Spencer and I, a deep chat about the light heavyweight division here and all the talents here. Joshua Boazzi, of course, has just moved camps from Matchroom Eddie Hearn to Sky and Boxer. Here's what Spencer and I felt about his move and how we feel right now about the 6, 7, 8 characters who all need to meet each other in the 175-pound division. Well, look, undefeated British light heavyweight Joshua Boazzi is obviously very talented. Won a medal in Rio at the bronze medal,
yeah,
didn't
bronze
he?
Medal.
Light heavyweight at the Olympics in Rio in 2016. He's had a slow burn to his career, but he's done nothing wrong. But he was, as he says there, he's 30 now. He wants the biggest fights now. He wants the biggest platform for sports fans. And he said in that press conference, I think you were there. Were you there in Croydon?
I was in the studio, yeah, actually, on Thursday with him as well.
But were you here? Croydon, I was there. At the launch of the media event at Box Park in Croydon. He also said that day, I'm not going to tell you to download an app and type in your email and your bank details, which was a direct kind of... A little swipe, a side swipe, if you like, at the fact he'd been on DAZN, and obviously that platform requires sign up and all those kind of things. And obviously he's gone to Sky and Boxer. But weirdly, Spence, a day later, it was revealed that DAZN is going on to Sky platform 429. Mm-hmm. So you can actually watch DAZN now from the Anthony Joshua fight onwards on April the 1st. That's live on TalkSport, of course, with our commentary team, including myself, Spencer Oliver, Adam Catterall, and Andy Clark. So weirdly, he crossed over, and then DAZN are going to be on the Sky platform on a channel as well. So first of all, has he made the right move?
Well, listen, I understand where he's coming from. We spoke off-air about this as well. He was saying, look, Spence, you know what it's like. I just want to get as many eyeballs on me as I can. Sky is by far the biggest platform. And you're right in what you said there, Gareth. Yes, DAZN is now on a Sky platform, and it is channel 429, like you say, but you do still have to pay for that subscription on there. It's not like free to view now, it's on there like that. So it's a little bit more complicated than that, but great moves for DAZN, you know, because they have actually got somewhere where you haven't got
to
watch it on your phone.
You need to be on that platform, that linear platform, at the moment, because they're not quite there digitally.
No, that's right.
Not them, but the whole world.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, yeah. So yeah, good move by them. But yeah, Joshua Boazzi just said, listen, I want to, like, I'm at this stage in my career now. You know, he's had a great win last May against Craig Richards, Spider, who's a world-class operator. We've seen that. He's proved that. You know, even in defeat against Bivol, there was a fight there that I felt he could have won up until about the 10th round. And just self-belief probably let him down in that one, Richards. But, you know, he gained a lot of respect from that and showed what a good fighter he is. And then going in with Boitsy was equally as good. It was a grueling fight and Boitsy proved his class and pulled it out there and won a unanimous decision. But what I'm saying is this kid is WBA now WBA number one ranked. He's knocking on the door and he wants the biggest platform. He wants the most people to watch him so that he can, you know, boxing's a very short-lived business and you need to become a star in your own right so that you've got a career after boxing. And he felt that being on DAZN was too soon for him. Like you say, he felt that there was not enough people watching it and maybe it's, you know, he was 2 or 3 years away from DAZN getting the audience that he wanted and Sky was the right move. He said it didn't matter what promoter it was. It wasn't a personal attack on Eddie Hearn. He just said whoever had the Sky platform at the time, and it happened to be Ben Shalom, that's where he was going to go. But he said, Spence, if you had that, I would have gone with you. If Eddie Hearn had it, I would have gone with him. He said this was just a business move, not a personal attack on Eddie.
But apart from the business moves, he's trained by Virgil Hunter, who does tend to be cautious with his fighters and not throw them into world level till they're ready. The big question around Joshua Boitsy, who's number two for the WBO, ranked number two for the WBO title held by Artur Beterbiev, and is number two for the WBC title held by Artur Beterbiev, with Callum Smith number one in both those sanctioning belts bodies. And it looks like Callum Smith will get that crack at Beterbiev first. He's got a lot more wear and tear on the clock, and he's been around a lot longer. He's been the number one, hasn't he, Smith, in the division below at super middleweight. Is there much time left for Joshua Boitsy? Because he's had that significant fight with Craig Richards, in which he proved something. It was a terrific fight. Anthony Yard, we want to see him in against. Dan Aziz, who we were talking about just now, who we were talking to about these guys literally 10 minutes ago on the show, and these guys have sparred together. Does Boitsy need to get a little bit of a wriggle on or not?
Yes, definitely. And he recognises that himself. You know, he recognises that within the next 12 months, he needs to be boxing for that world title. He needs to, but he said the reasons why he hasn't boxed for that title was, you know, it was reasons between him and Eddie and contracts. And like, yes, he was offered good money, he said, but that meant that I was tied into contracts that I'd been on, being on platforms that I didn't want to be on. So I turned down that fight. He said, so world title opportunity, yes, it was there, but it wasn't right, you know, like from the business side of things. He said, now I'm on Sky and I feel that if I can be active, because that's the most important thing, inactivity, you can't go in against fighters like Beterbiev or Dmitry Bivol with inactivity. You have to be active, and that's what his plan is, to get 2 or 3 fights in maybe this year and then box for the world title. That's where he wants to be. So, you know, he's guiding his own career, but he's also, yeah, he's being very careful with the choices that he makes, but I think he's doing the right thing, and I think that it's going to be interesting. The next 12 months especially is going to be interesting because, as you've mentioned there, Gareth, there's some great British fights out there as well, you know, with some of the names like you've just mentioned.
Look, who is, in your view, I'm going to put you on the spot here, of all those £175 fighters in the UK, we've seen an amazing fight this year with Anthony Yard, whose stock rose even though he lost to Beterbiev, because you can see him matching up against other people. I think Beterbiev is a modern master.
Yeah.
Still undefeated. What is he, 20 and 19 stoppages, something like that?
No, 19, no...
19 and 19. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was 20 and 20. Yeah. What do you believe? Who do you believe will emerge in, let's say, 2.5, 3 years' time as the number one out of all these light heavyweights that we've got?
That is a very,
is it
Yard? Very,
is
very,
it Boitsy? Is it Aziz?
That's
is
a
it
very
Richards?
Good question.
Is it Arthur? Is it Callum Smith?
I'm going to say no, because I think Callum Smith's been there and he's done it. And maybe, you know, you talk about next 2 or 3 years, I think Callum Smith will be tapering out then.
No, but I'd include him in that group of them.
Yeah.
Is he better than all of them?
Callum Smith is probably the number one out of them all at the moment, and that's down to experience, and he's been there and he's a great fighter. So I'd say Callum Smith is probably number one there at the moment, but things could be totally different in 2 or 3 years' time. I mean, Anthony Yard is still very much on a learning curve because he's only done all his learning in the professional ranks. He didn't have an amateur career at all. I think he actually only had a couple of fights as an amateur and done a bit of white collar boxing. He's still very much on the learning curve and proved against Beterbiev that he's improving all the time and he is world-class. Dan Aziz is improving all the time. No one expected him to get to the heights that he's got. And now you're looking at him going, hold on a minute, this kid keeps grinding it out.
Who's had the toughest ride
But Joshua
so
Boazzi is the most spiteful of the lot. I'm going to tell you that. That's for sure. Yeah. You know, Boazzi for me was... When he was coming through, I was looking at it going, this kid is probably... the best prospect globally at one point, I felt that, globally, not just in this country. At one point when he was coming through, I thought, this kid, but then he lost ground because of inactivity, you know, and he's still, you know, and he still grinded out good wins against Ryan Ford. He had to bite down on his gum shield. He won that fight. I think he was in about 7 rounds, but he got a really bad thumb in the eye in about the 3rd round. His eye swelled up. Good experience for him, you know, good development for when he gets onto that world stage, you know, come through a mini crisis in that fight. And then against Craig Richards, he grinded it out again. So he's ready now. Just he needs to be active. And I think he'll go on. And I do believe he'll become a world champion. I think Boazzi probably he's definitely the most spiteful of the lot. That's for sure. And Anthony Yard is, again, he's spiteful as well. It's a tough one to call, if I'm totally honest, because there's an argument for all of them, Gareth. How good the division is.
It could be an A beats B, B beats C, C beats
absolutely.
A.
You know, absolutely.
You just don't know in this division.
Totally,
you know,
agree.
You know, it's so difficult to know.
I mean, who would you pick out of... I mean, I'd love to see... I'll tell you a fight that I'd most like to see out of all of them.
I don't think there's one of them that beats all of them, you see. I think they all might get beaten by each other. Because I think Yard and Boazzi is a phenomenal fight.
That's the most sexy fight out of all of them, stylistically.
Way. It's very hard to pick.
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying. There's something about the resilience and spitefulness and tensile strength of Joshua Boazzi. Mm. The attrition that he's capable of.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen... When he's had difficult moments and been flustered, he's got been flustered, things that would have flustered him.
He's dealt with it well.
Anthony Yard, if there is one blip, it's he got outdone by the jab of Lyndon Arthur in that fight, wherever it was, the Albert Hall that night. I think it was we were at the Albert Hall.
Closed doors, wasn't it?
It was behind closed doors, that's right. So there are the church it was at, wasn't it? It's difficult to know, but again, Dan Aziz has got so much vim and vigour. Callum Smith has probably shown the pedigree of more than them, but he's a weight division above where he was at his best so far. Mm. But he looks tremendous.
He does.
Physically at 175 pounds. So what kind of grates with me a little bit is we're having this discussion about all this stuff. These guys are in their early 30s already and they haven't fought each other yet. That's what concerns me.
I think that we will get that. I really do. I think that we'll get that because I think all these guys do want to mix it up. They do want to, you know, because they do recognise that it does create legacies. And ultimately, and what this is prize fighting, they can all earn a phenomenal amount of money by boxing each other because they're all exciting fighters. They're all exciting in their own way. And there's an argument. We've all got an opinion about who's the best of this little mix, but none of us really know. And that's the great thing. That's when you know you've got great fights there. There's 3 or 4 great fights between them all.
And we need to see them by the time, by the time, I'd say within the next 18 to 24 months.
I agree. Totally agree.
The show would be incomplete without having a heavyweight on it. It's heavyweight time. We've got a massive April coming up with Anthony Joshua. Don't forget, by the way, Anthony Joshua and Jermaine Franklin is live on TalkSport on April the 1st. You can hear it here on the home of boxing. It would have been remiss of us not to catch up with one of our, maybe not leading, but certainly growing lights in the heavyweight division, Fraser Clark. He fights on the undercard of Lawrence Okolie's defence of the WBO cruiserweight title against David Light in Manchester next Saturday night. He's up against Rydell Booker, is Mr. Clark, and this is what he had to tell me.
First and foremost, let's just have it right to everyone that likes to complain. I'm not doing nothing different in my career than Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, and all the heavyweights that have gone before, apart from one man. The one man that changed the scale of things for Olympians, Mr. Joe Joyce. He went at a phenomenal pace. So I'm not doing nothing too different to anyone else. But now I believe this is a step up and a massive step up compared to the people I've been fighting.
Tell us about Rydell Booker. I particularly want to ask, you know, just a couple of fights back, I think he lost unanimous points decision to Otto Wallin. So you can almost kind of watermark or rubber stamp a comparison there that people can, they like to make easily.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the company that he's been in with, first and foremost, this is a man that isn't going to be worried by the likes of Fraser Clark. You know, this guy's life story is quite a phenomenal one. I met him a few years ago when he was in training camp with Anthony Joshua preparing for Ruiz One, I believe. And I had a chat with him, as I did with all the sparring partners, and I got to listen to him, and I was taken away by the story of this man, which, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, go and Google him, have a little look at him, a phenomenal story. So yeah. He's a tough man. But in boxing terms, he's been in there with them all. He's been in with James Toney, mate, one of my favourite fighters ever. And I know that was a few years ago, and I know that says a lot about his age, but recently, Pulev, Otto Wallin, Filip Ergovic now, them names there, for me at the minute, they're in a different category to me at the minute. You know, they're all world title contenders or a challenge for world titles or pushing. So, you know, I think this is a major step, but I'm taking it deadly serious because you can say anything about his age, but old dogs have a lot of crafty tricks. And if you don't turn up and you don't show up, these kind of people can make you look silly. Believe me, because I've seen it a lot. I've been around boxing a lot, and I've watched a lot of boxing. A lot of people that are supposed to get in there and do a job on someone, I've got a bit of the races, and believe me, I'm working like a dog to make sure that happens.
I mean, obviously he's 42, but as you rightly point out, when he fought James Toney in 2004, he didn't box again then until 2018. Mm. He had a lot. You know about his story.
Yeah, I know the story. And I respect, you see, me, Gareth, what people need, probably don't know enough about me on a personal level. I'm a real man of like culture, interest. I like people's stories. I like to know people. I get to know people. And I've got nothing but respect for this man. To be out in the ring for that long, to come back and to be in the ring with the names that he's been in, no, it tells you a lot about a person. And don't look at the record, the winning record or not. These fights that he's been in, every single person he's fought has had to be switched on. Do you know what I mean? It's like he got stopped by Ergovic. I think that's his only stoppage. And to be fair, he wanted to carry on, but I think the referee had seen enough. To go the distance with Pulev, you've got to credit these people. And don't get me wrong, he's not going to become a Calvin Klein model overnight. Don't get me wrong, but don't let that make you think this guy is a bad heavyweight, because he's 100% not.
Fascinatingly, he also went the distance for Jermaine Franklin.
Exactly, who's fighting AJ. So, you know, I don't want to hear no complaints about the company that I'm in with. I'm in with good company. I'm in with company which is definitely going to test me and push me. Up in this fight, will I have to come through a bit of adversity? Probably. Is he going to hit me back? Probably. So far, that really hasn't happened. But I've seen this guy. It's only, I think, his last fight. He upset a like 5-0 prospect or 6-0 prospect, whatever he was.
13-0, Norman Healy.
13-0, you see? So he stopped him in the first round. So if anyone thinks I'm going in there thinking this is a foregone conclusion, which, if I'm honest, with the other fighters that I've fought so far in my career, I have gone in with that attitude, you know? It's been a learning phase. It's been a building phase. And to be fair, I've probably hurt more in the fights I've had in the amateurs than I have done in the fights in the pros so far. But this is the process we're going behind. And guess what? I love it. I absolutely love it. I love fighting. And I'm going to enjoy this fight as hard as it will be. I've seen what he did to Jermaine Franklin. They had a little toe-to-toe. You know, I'd like to think I've got a little bit more brains than Jermaine Franklin. So, you know, you're not going to catch me in a toe-to-toe war with this man, because on his day, he can upset everyone.
Statement on March 25th?
Win.
Just a win.
Win.
That's
win,
all
mate.
You want.
Win.
Yeah.
How many people have made a statement against this man? Not many. Not many. If I can make a statement, it'd be a hell of impressive. But guess what? I'm not naive. I'm not stupid to think that, you know, I'm Mike Tyson, I'm going to blow this man away in a round or two. It doesn't work like that. This guy's hardened, war-hardened. He's been through tough times in his life, which makes him a tough character in and out of the ring. You know, my job is to get in there and win and act like a professional.
Joyce versus Zhang, Joe Joyce versus Jili Zhang. How do you see that going?
I'll tell you how that's going to go. That is going to go a bit of a typical Joe Joyce way. The first three or four rounds, it'll be competitive, but he'll get caught with a few shots. You know, he'll be slamming a lot of shots against that tight guard of Zhang. Eventually, but then Zhang will be, you know, countering him, and you know, don't be surprised if a few oohs and ahs, because Joe's, you know, his defense isn't the best thing in the world. But then after four rounds, the pressure and the output that Zhang does, if it doesn't make a dent in Joyce, yeah, you'll see a pummeling after that. You'll see Joe Joyce just change the gear, a little slot into the next gear, and then I very much doubt Zhang will be able to keep up with him. But he's got to be very careful early on, because this big fella, who's also a member, another Olympic medalist, very, very good and very solid, he can definitely bang. So Joyce, after about... stoppage after about six rounds, I believe.
Are you surprised that Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk isn't over the line yet for April 29th?
I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed. I think like a lot of people will be. You know, I don't like to get into negotiations of that caliber, because guess what? It's way over my head at the minute. I've not seen nothing like it. But the two leading heavyweights in the world. So for me, what that means is you're the two leading fighters in the world. I know people will disagree, but you're the heavyweights. You're the people. You're the people that people want to see and look up to. If you two can't get it on, just like AJ and Joshua can't get it on, what hopes has anyone else got in any division? If the biggest fight in the world can't be made, we're all in trouble. Get the fight made. You're both already multi millionaires. You both got to make a fair whack anyway. What Tyson Fury has claimed is it's not for the money. Usyk seems to be like it's for the pride of everything else. Put your head together, lads, and get it on.
Well, a packed show as ever. Don't forget to subscribe, listen to us every week. You've been listening to the Fight Night podcast for TalkSport with me, Gareth A. Davis.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.